Thank you for coming out this morning. Wind's blowing a little bit. It's a little bit cool. But ask the fat people to sit around the edges. You know who you are. And he's to point you out. I'll get the back wind up here if I'm coming in. It's all right. It's so good to have you here, those of you for the first time. Generally, they say it doesn't get any better than this. We don't use the terminology quite like that. We say it don't get any better than this if you ain't happy. Saw the Wise family yesterday. I went up, passing through Winston-Salem, and little Bradley had four teeth removed, and he was in quite a bit of pain. And Frankie's doing all right. We got him a hat from Jeff Gordon. George Sloan got it for us. We thank him for that. And I stopped by a 7-Eleven type store 2 or 3 months ago and saw a Jeff Gordon cutout. And those things are worth a lot of money. I didn't know that. I thought, just cardboard, there you go. I said, give me that. They said, no, that's $250. I said, keep that. And so I said, we told him about little Frankie and how he liked Jeff Gordon and all. And I said, if you ever get an opportunity, if they leave anything with a picture of him, how about sending that? Here's the address. And I told him about little Bradley. And the guy said, I'll be glad to do that. He said, by the way, I know him. I said, you do? He said, yeah, I'm best friends of one of his mechanics. And so that's been 2 or 3 months. I pretty well forgot about it because I tell everybody and when I see one of those things, hoping somebody will send something. And yesterday in the mail, from the picture of Jeff Gordon autographed, and the guy wrote a nice note reminding me, so we sure thank him for doing that. So you never know what's going to happen when you tell people what's going on. Now, Larry, take this part out of the tape for the Wise family. Put it in the rest of them, but make one for Ann to send for them. I was riding along the other day, and I don't see have visions and hear people talk in the car and all that. But I was thinking about little Bradley and little Frankie, and they go to the hospital 3 or 4 times a week. Please understand that. And last time I was up there, they came driving up in a 85 Cutlass that it looked like they had bought it at an auction in Tijuana. And I mean, this, you know, I said, that car could break down. Those kids could have an attack, and there she is with them on the highway. What you going to do? And I said, one way or another, we're going to get them a van. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to buy it because I got $4.50. And he assured me he would. So I was passing through Charlotte and stopped with George Sloan and his family. And I mentioned it to him because he loves little Bradley and has his picture with him all the time. And he said, well, we'll call Chuck. And I said, Chuck who? And he said, Chuck the man. I said, all right. So in the morning he calls Chuck Colson. Chuck works for John Hendrick Honda in Charlotte. He's the manager. They sell 400 cars a week. I mean, that's something. And so George called him, and I'm just hearing one end of the conversation. So I'm hearing what I want to hear. Yeah, okay, yeah, good, okay, yeah, fine. Hangs up, said, van's on the way. He's going to find one in a week or two. He'll work it out. I said, tell him if he can get me financed. He said, he can get anybody financed. I said, we'll challenge that. And we'll see. And he said he carries some 400 good deals and a few bad ones. He says, you're going to take them because you're getting these. So I'll be in one pile. And so they're going to get us some kind of late, you know, a few miles on it car, not a new one, of course, and give us a wholesale price on it or whatever. He's trying to get the folks there to do as much. I don't know what they'll do on it. The owner may get blessed or whatever and won't give us one. I don't know what will happen. But we're going to get that for those babies. And what we will do, when I find out how much it costs and what the payments are, I'll just tell you what payments are. And we don't expect, you know, you pray about it, but make one payment this year. somebody, just somebody. We'll get it financed for as long as we can, as low as we can. And you just make it a goal, you're going to make a payment. And if you don't make them, I will. It's just that simple. But we're going to get the baby a car. So let's do that and be thinking about that. H. Lee's here with us this morning, standing back here. And if you would, let them know who you are. H. Lee, raise your hand. Some of these folks don't know you. Thank you. H. Lee runs this place and lets us be here out of the kindness of his heart. He doesn't have to. Okay? And is also letting us have the place down the street for the winter, so we'll be there. So we'll be moving there. We'll let you know when that is. It's always to, I'm glad that that family is in love that was here. Me and Ann, we remember that. We were in love, weren't we, honey? And this morning, types my notes and said, this isn't a very good sermon. I said, excuse me? He said, it's isn't a very good sermon. Ain't much there. I said, there's three passages of scripture there. What kind of writers did you want? And so we at war, and but I think I'll keep her. She can type. I mean, look at. So we're here. We thank the singers for coming, for you for being here. And now we'll expound the word of God, our gracious and loving Heavenly Father. Thank you for this place and for H. Lee, who so kindly lets us meet here. We won't know till we get to heaven what good has been done here. But boy, we still get some good reports back while we're here. And if he didn't do that, we wouldn't have a place to meet. So we thank you for him and his wife, Pam, and their kindness. Thank you for those who have come here. Let them know they're not here by accident, that this is an appointment with God Almighty that they kept this morning. And please let me preach your word in a way that if there be one here who knows you not as Savior, that today they'll understand how late the hour is and that this is the beginning of the end. And there's not much time to make a decision as to where they'll spend eternity. Remove me from this place that you be heard. What I say that should be remembered, let it be. What I say that should be forgotten, please take it away. And let someone here today leave knowing you as Lord and Savior. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Today's sermon comes from one of the shorter scripture verses in the Bible, Hebrews 13:8. Just as Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. As people have asked you this week, I'm sure, and many have asked me, what's going to happen? I can tell you what's going to happen eventually. I can't tell you what's going to happen in the next few days. As we have trouble with Bin Laden, I don't have visions, but every now and then you get a revelation. And I said, if we have trouble with those people and it really gets serious, at 5 o'clock yesterday, I found the answer. Had it given to me on television. I said, pick any 4 high school students from Lower South Carolina and send them and Lou Holtz. and they'll come back somehow winning that thing. I don't know how. I mean, anybody, you can gain 500 yards on it and they beat you. I mean, what else could you do? They're going crazy in Alabama this morning. So we find out what's happening, and what's happening is what's always happened. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator, sustainer, and provider of those whom he loves. We go back to find out what happened yesterday. It says yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's the same. Yesterday, we go all the way back to the beginning, to the first yesterday, to the last yesterday in Genesis 1:1. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Just reading that, as you've read and heard for years and years and years, you just assume that's true. And you go on with your reading and get on back to Revelation. But understand the God there, the name in the Hebrew is Elohim. That's his name in that sentence. And that means plural. So from the very first sentence of the Bible, we are given the indication there's more than one, not more than one God, but a God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They kicked it off that way. What a wonderful thing to do. You see, once you understand who Jesus Christ is, and once you understand that there was never a time that he did not exist, that there's no such thing as a time there wasn't Jesus, that the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit were there from the beginning, and we go all the way to John in the New Testament when we find that out again, when John says the familiar John 1:1-3, you know it, can quote it. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And in the Greek, which the New Testament was written in, that means always was God. So there's no doubt that God always existed. We can't put a time, a beginning on him. You can't put a time on the Spirit of God. He was always God. And you can't put a time on Jesus Christ. He was always God. Christmas is a nice celebration day. It's a long, long way from the first day Jesus spent. Always was, always is, always will be, always creator, always sustainer, always provider. Every preacher in the nation should take this period of time and this opportunity to preach this message to the people they pastor. And for once and all, let somebody come out of the closet that means something, and let the preachers come out and make a decision and take a stand and draw a line in the sand and say, you either believe the inspiration of Scripture, you either believe it is the Word of God, you either believe that Jesus is God Almighty, you do believe in the shed blood and the atonement, you do believe in the bodily resurrection, and you do believe in his soon coming again, or get out of the pulpit. And it's time for the preachers of America to stand up and either face the truth and preach the truth, or quit the hypocrisy of preaching out of a book they don't believe, about a God they don't know, and a Savior they don't have. It's time to come out of the closet, because there isn't much time left. The Bible says in John 8:24, if ye believe not that I am, capital I, capital A-M, meaning the Yehovistic, the Jehovah of the Old Testament. If ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. It's not a choice. It is mandatory. If you're going to call yourself a child of God, that you know who God is, and you know the God by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to worship any other, by any other name, by any other way, is babbling into the air, and you are a hell-bound sinner. I don't care how they try to ecumenize and get you together and join hands with pagans. There's one Lord, one God, and one Jesus Christ. And without faith in him, believe me, you're headed for hell. And if preachers of this country will stand up at this time, we can turn this country around. If we don't do that, we're going down. Please understand, in the prophecies of this book, the United States of America is never mentioned. We may not even be here when these end time things take place. We may be gone. Please understand, had that crowd of pagans had anthrax, that'd have dropped it. Had they had the delivery system for nuclear war, they would have dropped it on New York. And if we let them go on and don't put a stop to this immediately, the 10-year-olds that the liberals and the pacifists are wanting to protect, and I'm sorry they got to go, are the very people who will pilot the planes, who will hit you with those missiles as soon as they have the capability. Come on out of the closet, and let's start preaching the truth, and let's start telling it like it is. They say, you're not very tolerant. I got news for you. I'm not tolerant at all. I wasn't called to be tolerant and to preach tolerance. I was called to preach the truth as revealed in the Word of God. And if I ever preach anything else, call it to my attention and I'll apologize, back up, and I'll quit if necessary. But that's what we're going to preach, and that's what we believe, and it's the only gospel, and we have the only Savior, and we have the only God, and the only way to get to heaven. Please understand that. Hebrews 8:1 tells us who Jesus is today. Now of the things which we've spoken, this is the sum. This is the total. This is the bottom line, is what he's saying. We have a high priest who is seated on the right hand of majesty in the heavens. You see, the old priest in the Old Testament, he walked around the Holy of Holies, put bells on his garment, because if God didn't accept the blood atonement on the Ark of the Covenant, if he didn't accept that, the priest would be struck dead. That blood did not forgive sins. That, the word is kephar in the Hebrew. It covered sins. No sin was ever forgiven until Jesus Christ, the Lord God Almighty, shed his blood on the cross. Then sin was taken away and not just covered. So he's sitting there in the heavens, and he is the high priest who is seated. Understand, the Old Testament priest had no furniture in the tabernacle. There wasn't a chair, there wasn't a bench, there wasn't a sofa. There was no way to sit down because his work was continual. It had to go on continually. He had to do that every year, go into the Holy of Holies and meet with the Shekinah glory of God and present the sacrifice and hope it was taken care of. When Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, he said, I did this once for all. No need to do it again. There's no sacrifice today. There's no sacrifice can be given today. Only an imitation sacrifice can be offered today. Nobody can offer the sacrifice that Christ Jesus offered and then went and sat down, because he had announced before it was gone. He didn't say, this is the beginning, get some theology going. He didn't say, this is the middle, I'll carry you this far, work it out the rest yourself. He said, it is finished, with a loud voice, the scripture says. Hard to preach with a loud voice when you're nailed to a cross. With a loud voice he announced, it's over, it's done, redemption is paid. And the whole earth shook with an earthquake. And darkness came, and the angels of heaven held a parade and were jumping up and down and crying and saying, guess who's coming home? Guess who's coming back? Today's the day. He's been gone, but he paid the price. It's over. He's coming home. I can see the homecoming parade now. Glory, what a thing to see. Good news is, the Bible says, when you are lost and undone, and you hear the story of Christ, and you accept that sacrifice, and you become a Christian, a child of God, in the family of God, that the angels rejoice in heaven. Those in the presence of the Lord rejoice. Now, who's there? The angels are there. And who else is there? The Christians who have died and gone on home, right? That's who rejoices. Bring out the band. Have a parade down Hallelujah Boulevard. And I know a little fat man who's up there now rolling and doing backflips and says, go ahead, boy. Every time I hear the news that somebody said, I sat there and didn't know. And now I know I was lost and now I'm found. And you don't know what joy it brings me. But what joy it brings there is unimaginable. Your grandmother, your grandfather, it's announced. Believe me, they know. They know. And they cheer. And they holler. And if you used to these quiet little church services, you better get over that before you go to heaven. All I read about there is constant rejoicing. Like you sang a while ago, constant holy, 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 constant being glad before the throne of God. That's all I hear. If you go in there to sleep, you better go somewhere else. There'll be no night there. No night there. Listen, it's time we got happy about being saved. It's time you got happy about where you're going. It's time you quit apologizing for being a Christian. It's time you backed off from the people who would say, well, now you shouldn't do that. It doesn't include that. It not only doesn't include them, they're going to hell if they don't change. How's that? I said, boy, that's mighty rough. I'm just reporting. I didn't write it. I'm just reporting the news. I'm the paper boy. I'm the pizza delivery man. And it's all what I read, and I read it every day. And I look and I see and I watch TV and hear what's going on and say, how in the world can you read this and believe anything else? How can you squeeze anything out of it, and how can you turn it any other way than the way it reads and the way you hear it here? He is the minister of the sanctuary, the set apart place, and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, not man, no building. Building. When you build these fine $8 million buildings, all that's doing is stroking your ego. You're going to build a house for God. Get real. He was the original carpenter and is gone to build one for you. You can't build one from him. Have you seen the Grand Canyon? You going to compete with that? Have you bothered to look out here this morning? You going to compete with that for a house for God? He said, the only place I'm going to live is within those people that come to me. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you when you accept Christ, and you are the temple, and you are the church. Don't ever forget it. What a God. What mercy. What a plan. And he said he is the mediator of a better covenant. The Old Testament was a wonderful covenant. He didn't come to destroy it. He came to fulfill it. And once he fulfilled it, he went on with the new covenant. And the new covenant is the blood of Christ. He said you can't be purchased with the blood of bulls and goats and doves, but you can only be purchased out of the marketplace as a slave with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only payment that was acceptable, the only payment that could be made, and he's the only one who could pay it, and he gladly did. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. What a better covenant. He's the only mediator, 1 Timothy 2:5 says, that he is the only mediator between God and man. A mediator is a reconciler. He's one who brings things together. The atonement in the Old Testament, that brought man and atoned for his sins, and therefore he was seen as covered, and he was okay with God as Abraham and all the Old Testament folks were. And so when the New Testament came, he said, look, we're going to do away with the blood of goats and bulls. I'm going to shed my blood. We're not going to cover the sins. I'm going to wash them away. They're as if they never existed. I'm going to put them in the depths of the deepest sea, and no man will ever drag them up again. I'll remove them as far as the east is from the west. They'll never be brought up in my sight again. There's nothing to worry about. And if you hear as a mediocre Christian today or a new Christian, and you don't have the assurance of going to heaven, understand if you trusted Jesus Christ, you don't have anything else to do with it. It's in his hands. He takes care of it all, and he's going to jerk you out of here, and you don't have anything to do with it. All you've got is a ticket to ride, and he's going to provide the ride. Rest easy. Sleep good. Don't worry. It's going to be all right. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I don't have to pray through a priest. I don't have to pray to an idol. I don't have to do anything but bow my head, and I'm in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm speaking to God Almighty because he opened that veil when he was crucified in the temple. It split from top to bottom. It was 9 inches thick. Two elephants couldn't tear it apart. And it split and opened the way to the Holy of Holies, showing you and showing me that we need nothing but him. And we can go to him anywhere, anytime, for any reason. And he shuts down heaven and listens to you. Said, amen. How do you know that? If you were here last month, blind Bartimaeus in the middle of a crowd, saw Jesus, didn't hear him, heard him go by, didn't see him. And they said, it's Jesus. He said, stop, son of David. Jesus heard him, stopped his tracks. Said, here's a blind, poor beggar looking for help. And when God heard it, he stopped everything to help him, just like he will you. Just like he did me. Praise his name. Isn't that wonderful? Hebrews said he's forever. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21 said, now the God of peace. And understand, we have the God of peace. One of the names of Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Don't tell me you're preaching peace with a religion that has an unknown God. And your so-called holy book doesn't mention love once. But gives instructions to kill Jews and Christians 132 times. Don't come at me with your peace. Don't come at me with your ecumenism. Don't come at me, well, now we all have to be together. No, there's going to be few who find their way to heaven. The book says, few there'll be that find it. Narrow is the way. Broad is the way to destruction. Said, well, that's mighty narrow. You better believe it. It's narrow as a beam on an old rugged cross. It's narrow as a stream of blood coming from a Savior's side. It's narrow. And you better find it. And you better have it. Because he's coming soon. Now the God of peace that brought again from dead our Lord Jesus. What did we learn last week? Who brought him from the dead? Here it says God. Last week we see in Jesus say, I have the power to lay down my life and to pick it up again. He's either God or we got a contradiction in Scripture. He's either God or that's a lie. It's the truth. He's the God. He's the only God, the only Savior, the only one who can help you in your sin as he helped me. That great shepherd of the sheep, referring to Psalm 23, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The last covenant had to be changed and made better. The key word of Hebrews is better. A better testimony, a better covenant, a better Savior, a better way, a better salvation. The key word is better. Aren't you glad we have that? And through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're in on the everlasting covenant that no one can change. He'll make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Don't ever say, when I get good enough at so-and-so, I'll start working for the Lord. You make yourself available, he'll make you good enough to work. Son, when he can use a red-headed jitterbug to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, in a bar, and people come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and lives are changed. This is a God who can use anybody, anywhere, at any time, with any talent. He'll use you like he uses me. I'm nothing. He's everything. But thank God he trusts me enough to let me stand in front of you and preach his gospel. And I do it shakingly because I know one day I have to stand before him and give an account for everything I preach to you. And it better be what he said. I promise you we'll try to keep it that way. Every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Adds on to the forever. Forever. It's good to know we have the one God, the saving God, the everlasting God. He who is, was, and ever shall be. The only one who could reach me in my sin. the only one who could pay for and deliver me from hell. And we found him, and we found yesterday and today and forever. He's the creator, he is the sustainer, and he is the provider, and he shall ever be. If you don't know this Savior this morning, it's time to find him. Well, preacher, how do I do that? I don't want to make a fool of myself too late. You've already done that. But we don't have you come down to the front of sign cards and do whatever you do. For those who do, that's fine. But where you sit, my work is done. My business is over. But where you sit today, you have business with an everlasting God who died on a cross for you and shed his blood and paid the price of sin that you could stay out of hell. That's the gospel. He was buried. He was resurrected the third day. He will come again for his own and come back and set up his kingdom that will last forever. Over? It hadn't even started. Pick a God, but you better be right when you pick one. If you don't know him this morning, where you are as we pray, just confess your sins. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I know that I am. I need a Savior. If I died today, I'd go to hell and I know it. I need a Savior. I understand it's you. And I'm calling on you to save me today. Make me a child of yours forever. If you pray that simple prayer, I promise you, it will last forever and ring down the halls of heaven until God dies. And that ain't gonna happen. Shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come stand before those, some who know you, some who don't, some who aren't sure whether they do or don't. But Lord, it's time for us to come out. It's time of us for standing up. It's time of us to say, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I love the Lord Jesus. Not ashamed of the gospel that saved me. And I need a Savior. Please, Lord God, save me. Lord, if there's one here who doesn't know you, let them have their hearts touched this morning. And let them come unto you and change their life forever. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your creation. Thank you for your sustenance. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your love. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Lord, my soon coming King and my God, I pray. Amen.